might have heard that the Metallica boys were gonna play some heavy shit tonight.
We're here with yet another edition of Metal Tales from the Road. We are here with our friend Matt French talking about the June 18th gig in Manchester. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, Clint. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Matt just informed me that he has knights full. I was like, what? You have knights? You've been knighted? What happened?
I have notes. I took notes.
before we get into your knights, let's learn a little bit about you as a Metallica fan. When did you come online with the band?
My story's really weird, actually. It's probably like the least linear Metallica story I think I've ever heard.
All right.
I came online around Black Album, like 92, mm-hmm. that sort of time. Got massively into it in 92 and went back to like Puppets and Justice and really liked those two albums. And then for some weird reason at that time, I never really got into Kill 'Em All and Lightning, which is, I'm sure, really unusual for all your other listeners.
You mean like you heard them, but you didn't really dig it?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
Especially Kill 'Em All. I found like that, I think it was the production on those first two albums when I was younger.
Right.
I just didn't get into it other than like the, you know, the big songs like Bells and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of stuck around until Load came out. I really liked Load.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to work this out yesterday, but I kind of got off the ride before Reload came out.
Wow.
And then have no idea why I stopped listening to it, because there's no reason. It wasn't that I listened to Reload and like didn't like it.
Maybe you were how old were you in this time? How old were you in the mid-90s?
I was probably about 16. I think if truth be told, I went off on a bit of a Marilyn Manson tangent.
Gotcha. So Antichrist Superstar probably happened to you, and you probably got stoked on that record.
Yeah.
And that's different enough too, where like the shock value of it, it's much darker. I mean, I got severely into Manson. I was also, let's see, I was a little younger than you. I was maybe 13, 14 when Antichrist Superstar came out, and absolutely loved it.
You were a spooky kid as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when I went back to the early Manson stuff, like Smells Like Children and Portrait of an American Family, I didn't actually like that stuff very much.
Oh, really?
For me, Antichrist Superstar, and then my favorite, I think their masterpiece is Mechanical Animals through Hollywood. that was kind of my Manson heyday. So I can see why you heard that, and maybe you're just sort of your interests were diverted over into the darker shit.
Yeah, I just kind of went off on a tangent there, and then never really came back. The weird thing is, I didn't actually come back and listen to Load until I think last year. Reload until last year.
Wow.
Other than the obvious ones, other than like Fuel and Memory,
right?
Devil's Dance, basically anything that was on S&M. But I never went and listened to the rest of the album. Probably until last year.
So what was going on with you as a Metallica fan, like when Saint Anger came out?
I dipped back in because I saw Metallica. The last time I saw Metallica prior to yesterday was 1999.
Okay.
Milton Keynes Bowl, Big Day Out Festival in the UK, where they were headlining. And it was right around the time where Garage Inc. had just come out. S&M was about to come out on CD. Loved Garage Inc. Was fully back involved at that point. And then bad things happened with St. Anger.
Yeah, absolutely. Around the whole world.
Yeah, that was a hard off the right.
Yeah, right. I remember playing it in the car and being so disappointed. Like, it gives me empathy for the people who felt that way about the Black Album or about Load, because that is exactly how I felt about Saint Anger. I could not believe that was the same band that wrote Master of Puppets.
Yeah, for sure. It's really confusing how that can come from the same people.
And then what about Death Magnetic?
I missed Death Magnetic when it came out. I'm actually really upset because when they were on the Death Magnetic tour, they played in Nottingham. And I had no idea that they were playing because I just wasn't paying attention to them at the time until after they'd been through. So wishing that I was in on that. I kind of got into Death Magnetic just before Hardwired came out. Then went a bit crazy after Hardwired came out. And
I'm looking up this Nottingham show. Was that at the Trent FM Arena?
Yeah, that's the one.
Let's see here. Yeah, what's a bummer about you missing that is those set lists were so fun. They opened with That Was Just Your Life, The End of the Line, Four Horsemen, Leper Messiah, One, Broken, yeah. Beaten, Scarred. The live premiere of Judas Kiss was at that show that you missed. Played All Nightmare Long, No Leaf Clover, Day That Never Comes, Fight Fire. I mean, that, and then the encore is Bread Fin, Helpless, and Seek. That's a killer show.
Oh, I feel worse about missing that show now.
I missed that whole tour too, though, dude. I didn't really, I'm kind of similar. I didn't really fully get off the ride, but Death Magnetic was an exciting record for me, but I didn't even occur to me to try to see the band until Hardwired came out.
No, I think I just went on a couple of very weird musical tangents because after coming back in, I then went off into sort of industrial stuff around the early 2000s, listening to a lot of synth pop and stuff like that.
What would that be? Would like Prodigy or Rammstein or?
Prodigy and Rammstein, it was stuff like Covenant and VNV Nation and Apoptygma, Berserk, and it was all sort of electro goth.
Okay.
So it was a very weird direction, but it was like all rock music sort of disappeared for a few years there.
Right.
And then I got a bit older and realized that that's where my heart is, you know?
Yeah, I kind of had a heyday with some of that kind of work too. And it's hard to rock that shit in your car when you're a grown up. It's just that music is very much at a certain time in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It gets very dated.
Yeah, like I can still put Mechanical Animals on the car and not feel embarrassed at a stoplight, but
yeah.
Some of the other shit I was listening to, because I kind of got into some dark gothy shit too, and you know, that stuff's a little more embarrassing. I play that privately in my studio.
Not when anyone else is able to hear you.
No, especially my wife, my poor wife. So Hardwired comes out, and so if Metallica's a little bit off your radar, how did Hardwired come into your life? Like what was the spark?
I can't even, it's very similar to, I think, what I've heard you and Ethan talk about, where the video came out for Hardwired, mm-hmm. or the first video that started doing the rounds for the song Hardwired came out. And I must have either seen it on a friend's feed or someone sent it to me, and I clicked on the link, and that's it. I was back in.
Isn't that interesting? Did you have the experience, so maybe you saw the video, you heard Hardwired, and you realize it's almost like it happens to you. You're like, holy shit, I'm back on the ride without even knowing it. And did it in a way feel like you hadn't left? Did it still feel familiar to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was like the same as what you guys have said. I heard that and was like, they're back.
Right.
I can forget that St. Anger ever happened.
Totally. Which is interesting of you seeing this tour, because for the first time and maybe 10 years, they're actually, you know, regularly playing St. Anger material.
Yeah.
Which I definitely want to hear about how that went at the show, for sure.
It was interesting. Yeah. That'll be fun when we get to that bit.
Where were your seats?
We were standing.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, I mean, I went with your good friend, Anya.
Oh, right. You're buddies with Anya.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I drove her up to Manchester, and we went together, and then we met up with...
You met with Kat, right?
Yeah, we met up with Metallica afterwards, because she had an interesting show.
Yeah, she actually just sent us a big, long email about it. I guess she got Snake Pit, and the dude graciously gave her Snake Pit after her shoes got fucked up or something.
Yeah, so apparently she walked from her hotel to the venue because she had an all Nightmare Long experience.
Right.
And when she got there, like the soles fell off of her shoes, like both of her shoes. So she essentially had no shoes. And
this is like a Tom Waits song from the 70s. Holy shit.
It's a very Dickensian tale, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. The tale of two shoes.
this is turn of the century, Dickensian London. It's like turned up to a show and didn't have any shoes.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think apparently she was talking to someone on some of the crew and stuff, and they gave her some pink gaffer tape to tape her soles back onto her shoes, and they felt sorry for her, so they gave her a snake pit pass.
Well, there's a lesson to all of you out there listening. All you have to do to acquire snake pit, the Mercy snake pit, is just walk so far and long that your fucking shoes fall off. And there you go. You'll be looking up James Hetfield's nose hairs in no time.
Absolutely. I was thinking, I'm like, surely the last place you would want to be in shoes that are held together with gaffer tape is in the snake pit.
Yeah.
Just in case they fall apart again. Especially in the snake pit in the rain like we were last night.
So did it rain during the show?
Big time.
Yeah, I had that in St. Louis also. So at that point, you know, you just commit to being soaking wet, right? You're not going to...
Oh, yeah.
Did you have like a parka or some shit?
No, I just stood out and got wet. It was fine.
It's very metal of you. Did any of your clothing fall apart? Anything fall off?
My clothing all managed to make it to the end of the night. It was well worth it.
Okay, good, good. So how do you know Anya? Have you guys been friends for a while?
Yeah, absolutely. I've known Anya for probably about best part of 12 years.
Okay, cool. Is music like a big part of your friendship?
Yeah, it was kind of during like the phase when I was into like goth stuff. Like the I used to DJ at a club night, and the people I DJed with knew people that she lived with, and it was just a big sort of Nottingham based music scene. So yeah, I've known her from that, and I know her through roller derby as well. So
I'm imagining you at a club DJing, except you look exactly like Robert Smith from The Cure. You've got lipstick on, white makeup, guy liner, and teased out hair, and you're just spinning typo negative or some other shit, and your nails are painted black, and you're sobbing while you're DJing. Is that an accurate picture?
We can say that's an accurate picture. That's fine. That's a better picture, I think.
So, and you guys don't really know Kat that well, right? You guys have all sort of connected with her through the podcast. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. It's I think Anya got in touch with her through the podcast, and then I've met her through Anya. And then we're all going to the show in San Francisco in September.
Yeah, so that's what we do here, Matt. We bring people from all over the world together, even people who don't have shoes.
Yeah, you are a uniting force.
So
shoeless and shoed people alike.
Dickens would be proud, I think.
Yeah.
So did you get there in time to see Bokassa? Or are you the kind of dude that gets to a concert and is excited about learning something new from an opener? Or are you there to see Metallica and that's it?
Ordinarily, I would be there to see the opener. Unfortunately, we did miss Bokassa.
Okay.
I had done my research beforehand, and I wasn't too fussed about Bokassa. It's just it's not my slice of pizza. Mm-hmm. It's not my thing. I try to listen to it, and I'm like, no, I'm not overly bothered about whether I see them or not.
Right.
Then when we did turn up, we thought we'd catch about half their set, and when we finally turned up, then the car parking was archaic and was like a cash only service to pay to park my car.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had to go and try and get cash to park the car. Wow. Where everywhere is just full of Metallica people who were all also trying to get cash and stuff. So I think by the time we managed to get parked and get in, we probably just missed the end of Bokassa's set.
Okay, so you did catch Ghost.
Oh yeah, I wasn't gonna miss Ghost.
So you're a Ghost fan.
Yeah, again off the back of this, really.
Right.
So I'd never heard anything before getting these tickets. And like I say, I did a bit of research on it. I'm like, it took me a while. Like, I think the first listening, I was like, this is not what I expected.
Yeah. They're pretty different. I play it on the bus a lot for my dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them, it was a slow burn for them too. But once, whatever the hook is, for me, it was the song Square Hammer. But whatever the song is where you finally lock into what their vibe is, even if you don't know what their aesthetic is with all the imagery and shit and the church and the evil Pope shit, once they kind of get their claws in you, man, the Ghost is a powerful band with really powerful songs, and the idea of seeing them with Metallica is kind of a dream come true. You guys are really lucky over there, I think.
Yeah, it was a fantastic show. I think it was, I used the same Square Hammer trick to get my wife into it as well.
Did she dig it?
Yeah, she likes that one. I'm slowly introducing other songs so that she's into it as well.
Well, let me help you out with the wife, with the gal, because Here's what I've been able to tell about Ghost and the ladies is they love that Tobias guy. So maybe show her a video, and not the one of him looking like the old man, this new cardinal thing he's doing, but when he yeah. just looked like Satan. Chicks are just drawn to that. It's genius. If Lunar Satan ever does any touring, I'm going to take a page out of that book and just try to dress up like an evil demon.
That's your direction.
Yeah, totally.
I will give that a try.
And then Ghost will take me on tour. Lunar Satan will become one of the most popular bands in the world. He'll introduce me to James Hetfield. Me and James Hetfield will become best friends. He will invite me and my family to live with him in Vail, Colorado. And then that's sort of how I'll spend the rest of my days. That's how I see it all playing out.
And you'll be like the fifth person in Metallica.
Well, yeah, of course. The next natural evolution is they'll invite me to join the band, and then they'll invite me to co-write all of their material with them. And then they'll co-invite me to re-record all of their classic albums with me on guitar. So the next 30 to 40 years of my life are pretty much planned out. I don't know what you guys are going to do, but that's all
set for you.
I'll spend my days just keeping bees with James Hetfield.
I like bees.
So have you been following the set list, or you've been trying to keep it as a surprise, or you follow the rotating slots and such?
I tried to promise myself that I wouldn't keep an eye on the set list. So
you
if
tried
you
to promise yourself.
Yeah. Well, I promised and then failed. Instantly.
You let yourself down.
Yeah, well, I figure that I'm going to be listening to the Metal Tales anyway, so I'm going to kind of know what's going on. So unless I stop listening to this, then I'll still know what's going on.
Right.
So.
I found that even sort of knowing what was going to happen didn't really take away from the excitement of it. Like, I knew they were going to come out and play Hardwired, and yet when they did, I was covered in chills almost the whole time.
That's it. It kind of didn't really matter. And once the show got started, I kind of forgot what was coming next a lot of the time.
Right. Well, you just get on you get on the ride and let it happen to you.
Yeah. I mean, even before they came on, what I found really interesting about the show, like for over here, is like the variety of different people that you see going to a Metallica show was really fun to watch.
Meaning age differences or otherwise?
Age differences, stylistic differences, really interesting people there. There was like what you would consider your typical sort of Metallica fans were obviously there in abundance, but then there were also people who I can only assume are kind of more mainstream now. So they're into sort of more mainstream pop, and like we're having a very cool conversation with an incredibly drunk Mancunian in the queue for the bar, and he's like into techno and stuff now and lots of house music, but still loves his Metallica.
Right. I bet those the cues, as you lovely people over in that side of the pond call them, the lines that you stand in, that is a great place to have some conversation. And I bet those conversations now are a lot more diverse than they were in 1986, for example, on the Ozzy tour, where it's just metal up your ass all the time. Now you're talking to a guy that loves Metallica, but he's also into house and techno music. So that probably wasn't as normal 30 years ago.
No. That's it. They would never have come through the door, would they, really?
Well, they would have been killed immediately. Torn apart, thrown on stage for Ozzy to chew on or something.
But I was just very impressed that he was heroically drunk.
Yeah.
He was absolutely annihilated, and sort of in your face with, what's your favorite album? What's your favorite song off of this album?
Oh, boy.
But what I was really impressed by was that no matter how drunk he was, his Metallica trivia was completely on point throughout. I don't think he could have told you his name, but he could absolutely tell you the chord progressions for and like what was in all of these different songs.
Yeah, I've actually seen it at when we do our anniversary parties. People, myself included, can get quite drunk at those things. And people have definitely compartmentalized the most important facts of their life, which may not include their name or birth date. But, you know, what the co-write split was on Ride the Lightning with Mustaine is tucked in there tight. I know what you mean about heroically drunk, too. Sometimes, like, when I fly a lot for my job, and we'll have these insane early flights, you know, where the curb call's like 4 a.m., the sun's not even up yet. And you'll invariably walk through the airport, and there's just a guy sitting at the bar having a beer. And it's like, that dude is an American hero. He's somehow publicly drinking at 6 in the morning at an airport.
Unashamed.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, of course, it's almost like a badge of honor for them. I do imagine that the guy you talked to in the line, I'm having a hard time imagining him making it through the entire show without vomiting or being thrown out or falling down or passing out or something.
I wouldn't say that he made it through the whole show without vomiting. He was doing very well, though. So about halfway through, I found him and his friend trying to find a bathroom that wasn't a lady's bathroom, and then deciding that they didn't care. And then being thrown back out of the ladies' bathroom. So they were still standing at least halfway through the set.
Kind of unbelievable that you ran into him again, because how many... Was the show sold out? Did it appear to be full?
It was not sold out, I don't think. The experience is all sold out, but the standing was all sold out, but there were seats left.
Okay, cool. And but this is a big stadium, right? So is this, like 30, 40,000 people?
Yeah, easily. I couldn't put a number on it.
Right.
I don't remember what their capacity is. I don't have the number at hand, but it was definitely very, very full. I think it was just blind accident that we happened to run into each other again.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
They were loud and noticeable enough that you wouldn't see them if you were in the vicinity. So.
You just hear a drunk guy talking about all the trivia he knows. You're like, oh, I know that guy. I recognize him. Was it raining just the whole time?
I recognize that voice.
Like, as soon as you got out there, was it just pouring?
No, this is it. It was nice and sunny and warm through the support acts. Ghost were, it was entirely sunshine all the way through Ghost. I think it started raining just as Metallica went on.
It's kind of like an omen.
I've been watching the weather because we've had like really heavy rain for the last like 10 days or something. And I was watching the forecast going, Tuesday still looks like it's not raining, and then it goes back to rain on Wednesday. I was like, can we make it through without any rain? And it just couldn't hold it out.
It is sort of the classic cliche image of England, just rainy England.
Yeah, well, that's our summertime. We enjoy summer. Both days are fantastic.
Well, did the boys seem to be having a good time despite the rain?
They were having a fantastic time. James was in a really, really good mood.
Oh, I love hearing that.
He just seemed to be having a ball all the way through. It was really cool to see.
It's pure speculation, but it's just fun to think about. Like, when he has grumpy days, I just always wonder what it is. I mean, it's probably something really normal, like you or I. And then when he's really happy to be there, I always wonder what that is, too. Like, was his family able to come out? Did he have a good day in the city? Did he have some good food? Like, I wonder what contributes to that for them when they're... I mean, they've been on tour for 3 years now, you know?
Yeah, you must get bored of it.
Well, it must
be hard to, like, still be having good days like that.
Yeah, even when you're a big, successful, rich guy and you're about to play to 40,000 people in a stadium. Because I've seen him be kind of grumpy, you know? He's a human being.
Yeah.
And did he stub his toe on the way to the stage? Is there a rock in his shoe? You know? Like, these are the burning questions I'm going to ask James when I finally get him on the show.
Later on, because of like all of the rain, there were like a few apparent technical issues that kind of sprung up on the way through. He was still smiling by the end of it, and it's the sort of thing where I know me and Anya were saying afterwards, we were like silently willing him at one point, don't turn around and notice that the screen's fucking up.
Screen was having problems, huh?
Just through one song, a little bit of glitching going on, and we couldn't tell whether it was on purpose or not, but we're like, don't ruin James's mood, he's having such a good time.
Yeah, totally. It does seem like maybe it's a volatile sitch too. If something goes wrong enough, he's gonna get bummed.
Yeah.
Well, so walk us through the set list a little bit. So you and Anya are sitting there and the Ecstasy of Gold comes on. Are you and Anya high-fiving? Are you side-hugging in celebration? What's the vibe like before the boys come out?
Anya went down, because we're in the back half of the field. She'd gone down to the front for Ghost and just decided that she wasn't going to move. I was there also with my wife as well. So we were a little bit further back. But yeah, as soon as AC/DC came on, Long Way to the Top comes on and people start basically pouring out from insides of the arena and sort of coming down trying to get as far forward as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And then Ecstasy comes on and everyone's super focused. It's a really, really good vibe in the arena at that point, but that's just when it started to rain as well. But I don't think anyone really cared.
No, that's the time for the sky to open up, is right before they come on.
I know, I think my wife had a story of when she went to see Cradle of Steam thing with them. She saw them at Donington one year and it was bright sunshine. And just as they were about to come on stage, it turned into a massive thunderstorm. And then as they went off stage, it cleared up again. We're like, well, that's very prophetic.
That's fun. It's fun when you kind of have a story like that attached to it. I mean, when I saw them in the stadium in St. Louis, it rained so much that my phone quit working. And it was sort of a miserable nightmare then, but now that's sort of, that story is tied and attached to it, and it makes the memory more indelible and all that shit, you know?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I can tell you almost exactly where in the set it got really bad with raining, because it was the point where I could no longer put any notes down on my phone.
Yeah.
Because the screen just wouldn't take anything. So I'm like, right, I'm going to just have to give up on trying to take any notes now and try and remember what I can. So.
Right. Do it the old school way, just with your eyeballs and your brain.
Yeah, I followed the usual advice of, like, not taking tons of pictures and video. I'd rather just remember everything. But I was just trying to catch a few details and stuff as we went through with things that sort of stuck out to me.
Yeah, well, was there anything in Hardwired that did stick out?
Hardwired was pretty standard. It was just a bit awesome, really. Like, the clarity and the volume on the sound for obviously went up massively for Metallica. And there's nothing quite like seeing, like, 40, 50 feet, is it, the screens? And just, like, 50-foot tall versions of James and Kirk and everyone, because they get, like, a screen each.
Mm-hmm.
That's just very impressive, really.
Absolutely.
I was being a bit of a guitar nerd and just trying to watch what guitars people were playing. Started out with the Mummy guitar, and James was on a Vulture.
Yep.
For Hardwire, and kept pretty much the same thing when they went into Memory.
How did the crowd respond to the Reload Sauce of Memory Remains? That's a crowd pleaser, dude, at this point.
That was fantastic. I'm hoping that there'll be some sort of video footage go up with that, because I don't know how long they've been keeping that chant going at the end of the song elsewhere, but it felt like it went on for a really, really long time after this, just because the crowd would not stop.
It'd be really funny if the set was just two songs long, just Hardwired and then Memory Remains for 75 minutes and then good night.
We just had like 2 hours of the crowd singing the Marianne Faithful bit.
I'll tell you, even on this tour, which this tour has got some really fun deep cuts, the fact that you guys got Disposable Heroes is a super treat, man. That song is so fucking dope, and they're not really doing that one as much.
No, that's it. It is one of my favorites as well, so I really enjoyed when we went into that one. It was, the tone was really, really good for it. Here's some old ones for you, and just people went nuts on the floor. I think a Circle Pit may have opened.
Ooh,
even in the back at some point.
And that was the last time you saw Anya. The last correspondence was after the Circle Pit opened up on Disposable Heroes.
She went in never to come out again.
All you have left are her shoes that you had to give to Kat.
That was fantastic. Really powerful song. I have to confess that I have a little bit of a crush on the purple Ouija guitar.
Yes.
That Kirk's playing at the moment.
Yep. It's interesting to me that the color associated with this tour is purple. The purple drums, Kirk's purple Ouija. Rob's always had a purple bass, but then James got a purple snakebite for Dream No More. I wonder if there was any type of aesthetic conversation about that. Like, you guys want to do purple this year? Sure, purple.
Someone in Key Prime went, Prince is popular.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's a big Prince-shaped hole now in everyone's hearts, so let's just go purple. He's not doing it anymore.
He doesn't stamp on purple anymore. We're taking purple.
I agree with you, dude. I think those purple sparkle guitars are fucking awesome. I really do. They're badass.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. And then I thought that we heroes, I'd completely forgotten that there was still a chance of getting something else. So when they went into God That Failed after that, I was like, how are we getting both of these?
Yeah, it's a wonderful 1-2 punch. Because even when they don't do Disposable, I think they do Lightning, which is badass also. So that third and fourth slot are just so fun, man. So fun. How'd the crowd respond to the God That Failed? Did they seem to recognize it?
Yeah, I think so. The variety of audience, and I think you've said before, like over in Europe, people tend to be quiet about it.
Yeah.
Deep cuts always go over well. You don't get a lot of sort of casual fans going to gigs like that.
What are you guys, are you seeing any more shows after this?
We were considering going to go and get tickets to go and see them tomorrow in London. Mm-hmm. Because as it happens, I'm kind of free to go and watch, and it would be cool to see the other rotating slots.
Yeah.
So it depends very much on whether I can hack doing that and then still go to work on Friday.
Right. Yeah. It'll be worth it if you can swing it. I can tell you that.
Anya is very heavily trying to persuade us to go. It's like, when's the next time they're going to come and tour in the UK? They're probably going to have a bit of a hiatus coming up, aren't they? Whether we're looking at sort of songwriting and studio time next in their schedule.
Yeah. I mean, she's right. I mean, you should listen to our friend Anya. She's correct. All right, well, keep walking us through the set list. So cool. The Unforgiven is up next.
I have to admit that I've heard any of the live performings of Unforgiven before on this tour. And I can totally see what you guys have been talking about with Kirk's clean tone.
Yeah, it's not great, right?
I was trying to work out what it was, because I think it didn't sound particularly dry, but it sounded really far up in the mix. Mixed really, really loud.
Yeah.
To the point where when it was switching into like his clean picking tone through the chorus, it was almost louder than James's vocals.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable to me when things like that happen at these gigs, that they haven't cracked the code on some of that. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts and every venue's different, especially when you're dealing with weather and Big Mick is mixing the sound through rain and wind and shit. I get all that. But it is interesting when you have something like that where his clean tone is weird and it's almost as loud as the vocal. It's like, what's going on there?
Yeah, and you're like, I'm not quite sure how that happened. It was an excellent execution. That was the only thing that was wrong with that I would pick fault, that level was a little bit too high on the Kirk side. But he absolutely blisteringly nailed the solo.
Awesome. Love to hear that.
It's more than made up for it. Yeah, that's just one of my favorites. It's just unfortunate that it goes straight out of that solo, straight back into that terrible clean tone.
They're like, we're not going to let you get away with it, everybody. We're back into the shitty part.
This is an amazing execution back into this really weird twang clean tone.
At least you do get what is one of my favorite parts of this tour that I did not get to see. They only played it a few times in the States, but you got to see Here Comes Revenge, which one of my favorite deep cuts off Hardwired.
Yeah, that was the note I've got down is punishingly heavy.
Is Punishingly Heavy, that's like one of your new goth bands. We're Punishingly Heavy, yeah. And these are all sad introspective songs about relationships that didn't work out, set to industrial drumming, and we don't even play stringed instruments. We bang on pipes, rusted pipes, and we wear guy liner and
dustbins and...
Yeah, yeah, of course.
They'll never go to the Dark Continent. They won't get on a plane.
Well, everywhere they go, though, is the Dark Continent. That's what they have that effect on continents. So they're always in a Dark Continent, which is a really nice part of the band. All right, well, keep on rocking us through the set, homie.
That's it. I think that point was when we started trying to push a bit further forward. I managed to get about a row behind where Anya had set herself up. I was trying at this point because we'd started out, stood kind of behind Big Mick's tent. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get around to the front. Like, this is where the sound's going to be best. It's going to be right in front. Only to find out that you can't actually live in front of that tent.
Yeah, I mean, that you could really stand directly right in front of it or to the side. What was weird is because we stood there for the Detroit gig, and it actually didn't sound great. I know Ethan said it sounded better when he saw them in Philly, but it's if you are floating around in the back, my advice to people would be to just sort of walk around if you can, because you... It is weird how different the experience can be depending on where you're standing.
But yeah, we were trying to get down to the front, but there was like rail dividing the back half of the audience from the people who've paid more money to be in the front half of the audience.
And is that where you were for Moth by the time Moth started?
Yeah, that's when Moth came on. Crowd was really enjoying that song. It's probably my favorites off of Hardwired as well.
Yeah, that's true for a lot of us.
In my head, I can always hear the Lady Gaga harmonies.
Yeah, totally. I thought those were pretty good, though.
Oh, no, I really enjoyed that version, but like my brain kind of fills it in even when they're not there now.
You're like, right now, there are people telling the story about the show, and they're like, there was this guy next to us that kept singing the Lady Gaga harmonies during Moth, and it was it was perfectly in tune. It was just a little distracting.
Very jarring as well, for if it was coming from me.
I love the combo of Moth and the Flame into Sad. I think that's such a powerful duo of songs.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, there was some excellent dad banter from Papa Het in between those two, which is again why you can kind of tell that he was having a good time, because there was a lot more banter in between songs,
right,
than maybe I was expecting. And this is where sort of maybe some of the weather affecting tech things started to crop up sort of around here. Because I'm pretty sure he went and swapped a guitar, and then while he was doing his banter, someone came out and swapped another guitar. So I think it went over from a standard Explorer sort of wood finish, and then came out with a white snake bite.
Hmm. You know what that sounds like? Happened?
Felt like there were two guitar changes in there.
What that sounds like happened is they gave him the Ken Lawrence guitar for Sanitarium, which was next, but they jumped the gun on the set list. Because that he usually plays that Ken Lawrence for Sanitarium, but for Sabbath True, he has a whole different. He's playing the White Snake Bite now, but it's tuned down a whole step. So I bet that's what it was. They brought him the wrong guitar.
Okay, that makes sense. I was very confused as to what had happened, but then with all the rain and stuff, I'm like, they must be having some problems. But yeah, maybe they just got it in the wrong order in the back.
Yep.
Sad was immense, just so heavy. That riff, the way that they've slowed it down, sort of was impressive to watch. The video screens were very imposing through that as well.
Yeah, that's one of the tour staples that I'm A-okay with them playing that at every show.
I don't think they can not play Sad But True at this point. I think it's kind of on the same level as Sandman.
It's almost I'd almost rather see Sad But True than Creeping Death if I had to choose between those two, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, Sad But True's, because it's got such known notoriety, you could play someone and a Sandman Sad But True, they'd know it was Metallica. With it being used in like Kid Rock and stuff like that, it's more recognizable.
Right.
Out of that into the Sanitarium tape, the first note that I've got down here was interesting backwards cap from Mr. Trujillo. It's like suddenly appears with his backwards baseball cap, which I think he kept on. Maybe he was just trying to keep his hair dry because like the rain got really heavy at this point.
Yeah, and it's kind of par for course with his basketball jersey and just in general his willingness to look as unmetal as possible while being in the greatest heavy metal band of all time. No, go ahead and put a backwards baseball cap on, Rob. That's cool.
But yeah, it got like I enjoyed that. It was a treat to get one of those ballads. I was kind of, I'm not disappointed with anything that we did get. Everything is fantastic, and it doesn't really matter. But having seen that they'd been playing No Leaf Clover a couple of shows before, I was kind of hoping that we were going to keep that.
All the more excuse for you to go to the London gig.
Yeah, that's it. As if I needed any more excuses, but yeah, that's it. Maybe we'll get that.
I will say I saw Sanitarium on the arena tour out of the three shows that I went to, and Sanitarium will never make a top 10 list for me. I don't know why. I just don't consider it. But when they played that, it was one of the most fun 5 minutes of the whole show for me. Sang every word, loved every part, loved the bridge. The band sounded great. So I'm sure it kicked ass.
It was brilliant, but like I think it's kind of the same for me. It's one of those songs that I know that I like it, like I like everything, but it's never going to be up there in like the favorites for being sort of stunning. And I think that's just because Puppets has always been one of my favorite albums. It's on an album full of other stuff that just sort of drowns it down, even though it's massive and really, really good. It just sort of sits a little bit below the other stuff for me.
And the doodles were I Want to Be Adored, Man Unkind, and Orion. How did the crowd respond to the doodles?
Really well, actually. I have to profess, though, I am not a massive Stone Roses fan, so I was like, I have no idea what this is. I was just really glad that it wasn't Oasis.
Well, they've done that before. I think the last time they played Manchester in the arena, they did Don't Look Back in Anger.
Oh, okay. Maybe they're mixing it up then.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the crowd was like, because Rob came out and was like, you've got to make a deal that you guys are going to sing this because I can't sing.
Well, at least he's honest.
And true to form, like the crowd was very vocal in singing along to that. So
I don't even know that song, I Want to Be Adored. I'm not a big Stone Roses cat either.
No, I kind of recognize it, but I wouldn't be able to tell you what the words were. And on hearing it, I was like, I'm not entirely sure what it was until they put up sort of towards the end that it was the Stone Roses. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, did they put it on the screens or something?
Yeah. So after they played it, they'd like just put up a picture of the Stone Roses in the middle.
I wonder what they're going to do for London.
They've got a lot to choose from.
Yeah, no shit. Beatles is Liverpool, but... Or maybe some Stones.
That was our other thing we were talking on the way down. We were trying to decide what the doodle was going to be, pretty much just because none of us wanted it to be Oasis. And I think Anya was saying that yesterday was Paul McCartney's birthday.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Maybe we'll get some Beatles. And we're close to Liverpool in Manchester.
Let's camp out for a second. What's the Oasis hatred all about? What's going on there?
I've never been a fan.
Are they generally like, instead of hometown heroes, are people pretty over the Oasis trip over there?
I think no, not at all. I think they've got a massive following over here. It's just one of those bands that I think there's very little. I think it's maybe a difference over here is that Oasis are very, very, they sound very, very, very Manchester.
Yeah.
Which can
I
be
say
kind
yeah,
of,
but I don't know what that means. Yes.
But like the way that Liam and Noel both sing, like, is just sounds like a little bit like a traditional Manchester sort of accent, which has a lot of I guess it gets a lot of play and stuff. But
do you guys really say often, do you know what I mean? They even wrote a song called Do You Know What I Mean? You know that song? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, awesome song.
I'd say I know that you. I know you're a fan.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah, it's never been something that's kind of floated very well with me.
That's cool.
Musically, it's really, really good and clever. It's the singing that I can't get on board with, and I think it's just the Manchester accent doesn't do it for me personally.
Interesting. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Derby, which is just next to Nottingham.
Okay.
Or spelt Derby for you guys in the States.
Mm-hmm. Who are spelling? Who are writing this down? Those of you with your pens out, that's how it's spelled.
It's always a source of amusement for people visiting. Like, why do you spell it like that and then say it's Derby?
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, we're in the land of Arkansas, where it's spelled with an S. And we're in the land of Illinois, which is spelled with an S. So we have our own versions of that stupid bullshit. All right, I guess maybe we should talk about Metallica some more. So moving into the St. Anger / Frantic slot. Now, if you had to choose a preference, even though I know you don't dig this record, are you choosing St. Anger or Frantic?
I was kind of hoping for Frantic.
Yeah, that's my choice honest, also. Yeah.
But again, I don't like the record, but I was going into this slot thinking I've heard lots of really good things about how they've been going across live.
Yeah.
And the live performance sounds like it's going to be tons better. That's great. Again, they give you a nice amount of warning that you're about to get the St. Anger slot on the video screens with the graphics that they sort of throw up. You're like, oh shit, they're going to be playing some St. Anger stuff for anyone who's not been following along.
Oh, I didn't know that they were doing that. So they're sort of visually prepping you. They're announcing to everyone that you can either go make a pee-pee or get a beer or mentally prepare for the next 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, because it's coming straight out of the doodle. So everyone else is off stage. Then Rob's doing Orion and the whole Cliff moment happens. The crowd was all cheering for Cliff. And then everything goes sort of down again. You get like the weird visuals of like a bandage floating across the screen. And then the fist comes down and the bandage wraps around the fist. And so like they make a big deal about the fact that St. Anger's coming.
I think that's pretty bitchin', though. That sounds awesome.
It was really cool. Like, honestly, like, the video screens, because of where I ended up, like, situated, I saw a lot more of the video screens than I could actually make out of the guys in the flesh.
Right.
Just because I'm not a particularly tall man, so I couldn't see over a lot of people. So we were watching a lot of stuff on the screens, but that did not disappoint at all.
I love that sentence. I'm not a particularly tall man.
I'm not going to call myself short, but I'm just not very tall.
Right. You're not particularly tall. You're not noticeably tall. That's fine. I also, see, I would describe myself, I'm similar, but I would describe it as this way. I'm extremely average when it comes to height. Just sort of amazingly
that works as
mediocre.
Well.
Amazingly average and mediocre when it comes to height. What's the deal with basketball over there? Do you guys like basketball?
I like basketball. We have a problem with sports in this country, though, in that if it's not soccer, then no one cares.
It's interesting.
Which is very depressing. It's depressing for those of us who don't like soccer.
Well, yeah, it's weird to have one shoved down your throat. Plus, we make a sport out of fucking everything over here, dude. We do horseshoes over here, homie. We throw horseshoes. We still play sports that people were playing 300 years ago.
Dude, I admire the sporting prowess. Sort of the sporting approach to things in the US is so much better than over here. You have things like, just look at baseball, where you have something that you could actually take your entire family to and have a family day out, and it's a wholesome experience at a sporting event. I would not want to take a child to a football match.
Yeah, well, let me assure you that although
just aggressive.
Yeah, well, although baseball, for example, is classic American culture, many people aren't taking their families. Mm. It's really excuses for dads to get away from their families. And it's just really a big, it's really just a big tribute to corporate sponsorship and money. And things are so grim and shitty here politically that it's just like pornography and booze and drugs. It's just, we're all numb and drunk with it to distract ourselves from the doomsday scenario in which we currently find ourselves. So that's how I sum that up.
I can empathize. We're in the middle of committing political self-harm. So,
yeah, you guys got that Brexit shit going on over there. That's a horrible nightmare, it seems like.
Yeah, we'd just like to, we don't have to build a wall. That's the problem. Like, we already have an ocean. So all we have to do is just stop letting people cross.
Yeah, totally. Well, and that's where soccer comes in.
It's way too easy for them to decide to do that, which is not good.
You know, and like on the heels of that, actually, that sort of political diatribe we just had, which, by the way, if that offended anyone out there over in the Brexit world or over here in Trump land, that's fine. Sorry, we didn't mean to offend anybody. We'll get back to the show. But it is one of the cool things you mentioned, the diverse nature of all the people at the show. It is nice that, and I understand why people don't want their artists being overly political. I think that's kind of inherent into being artists, but I do understand the argument of like, we're all here to sort of get away from that shit and be unified by how powerful this music is for us. And it is cool that even a record like Saint Anger, that record has its people that love it, that they were, whatever they were going through when that record came out and the aggression of it is what really helped them spiritually. And I think that's a really nice thing to remember as we talk through these metal tales and about these shows. And you know, it's cool. It's nice to feel it when you're there also.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was really well received by everyone last night. So, like,
I'm glad to hear
St.
that.
Anger, I would have liked Frantic, because if I had to pick a favorite out of the two, I think I'd fall down on that side. But it was well received nonetheless. It was really well done. Massive laser show for it, which sort of, because it's just starting to get dark around that point, just towards the end of the set. It was really, really cool. It was good to see. I was not offended, but I was upset by having St. Anger in the set list. I think that they've managed to sort of cast off the stigma that's attached to at least those two songs.
Well, I agree. Enough time has gone by. And I think that your average diehard, we kind of give it the soft golf clap. We're like, okay, that was nice.
Yeah, it'll do.
That was nice, boys. Okay. And it is.
It wasn't terrible.
That wasn't terrible. That was a song. You guys just played a song. It is telling, though, that they immediately back that up with like five barn burners in a row. They're like, you know what? Yeah. Thank you for letting us do that. And we're gonna sort of pay the check. We're going to pay the bill here in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah, by just obliterating you with all of the heavy hits. So
it must feel good to have that kind of, like, to know that they could go on a, it's one Puppets, Bells, Creep, and Seek. It must feel really good knowing that you can just absolutely fucking destroy with all those songs.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's no surprise that they're not having any. Once they get out of that, that's the last of their kind of change-up slots, isn't it? And
well, until, like, until the encore slot.
Yeah. But, like, your last five in the regular slot, they're like, right, this is solid. This is going to bring the house down every single night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Massive intro for one. We've got all the pyro going, which we very much appreciated because we really wanted to dry off at that point.
Right. Which, that's no joke, because that shit is hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It absolutely does not matter where in the stadium you are stood. As soon as those pyros go off on the towers, you are going to feel that. And absolutely, especially when they start blowing the pyro towers at the back as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You feel like you're kind of in an oven at one point.
It may be a little bit too intense for me. A little bit. Just a little bit. It feels a little dangerous to me whenever I'm around that. I'm like, okay, got it. We got it.
Whilst not the worst way to go out, if you had to choose.
To be burned
probably
alive?
Maybe not burning alive, but at a Metallica show, that would be okay. Maybe not in flames, though.
I have always said that, you know, being blown up, I'll take being blown up. Being blown up is probably pretty dope because, you know, it's instantaneous for sure.
And people will remember you.
Well, hopefully. I guess that depends on the nature of why and how I was blown up. Being blown up at a Metallica show, that's pretty memorable. They'd probably mention me at the next show. Probably get one mention at the next show.
At the very least.
The very least. My wife's already
honorable mention.
My wife's already married another man who hasn't blown up. My kid already calls him dad. I've already played this whole thing out of my head a million times.
You've done a lot of planning forward on these things, Flint.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of time.
What, with this and your next 30 to 40 years with the band?
Yeah, well, I spend a lot of time on a tour bus, so this is what happens when you slowly lose your mind on a tour bus. So, anything notable on Puppets or Bells?
Puppets was probably the set highlight for me. I really enjoyed it. Again, it's one of my favorite songs off of my favorite album. Mm-hmm. What I enjoyed through a lot of this was, by this point, I'd kind of moved back towards the back, and there was a guy stood next to me, probably about my age, and he was there with his 10-year-old son, and he was just going crazy for the old stuff. So from sort of Puppets, Bells, Creep, and Seek, he was just essentially going insane. And his kids just headbanging like crazy next to him as well. I'm like, there you go. This is bringing generations together. This is a father-son bonding moment happening right here.
Yeah, I love those stories too. It's so cool. I wish my kid was old enough to take her to that kind of thing, but those are things that people are never going to forget, man. Like, and you know, Metallica's got to be aware of that there's a different moment in every show where some moment like that's being created for a couple, or a father and a son, or a father and a daughter. It's almost too much responsibility to think about. It's got to be a bit overwhelming.
So, I mean, how many people there last night that was like kids who it was like their first concert or something? That's a good first concert story to have.
Absolutely. I think about it all the time too. Like, you know, there are all these stories about, you know, James Hetfield tells a story about the first time he saw AC/DC and Aerosmith and how important that was in his journey to becoming a musician. And I think about this all the time. I'm like, what future guitar player or drummer or singer is a kid in the crowd now, like in 2019 at a Metallica show, that's going to be in the next Ghost in 15 years? You know,
and referencing back.
Yeah, the next Slipknot, the next Mastodon or whatever. And they're going to look back to the show that you were just at, and that's going to be where it all started for them. I think about that all the time. It's so rad.
Yeah, it's crazy. Puppets, Bells, like, I completely can't remember anything next except for A Wave of Autumn, I think, up until that point, all the way through till the end.
Yeah.
Like, they were all exactly as you would want them to be. Kind of why I wish that I didn't know what the set list was going to look like, because just the excitement from some of the people when they're like going, oh my God, they're playing Bells. Oh my God, we're getting Creeping Death. And then he sort of, James builds them up for Seek and Destroy at the end.
Yeah.
They just can't believe that they're getting all of these old songs towards the end of the set.
Well, true, because if they're just sort of a normal casual fan, which most of them are, they're sitting there hoping that they get Puppets. They're hoping they get Bells. They're hoping they get Creep. And yeah, you're right. That stretch of tunes, that's probably the highlight for many people, because they probably do assume Inner Sandman's coming, even if they don't follow the set list. But 1 through Seek is crazy.
And when they go off for the encore, again, I was chatting to this guy with his son next to me. He's like, oh, well, they haven't played this one yet. And I think that they're definitely going to play it, because they closed with it last time they were in Manchester. They always will close with this.
Yeah, don't worry.
They're always going to close with Sandman.
Yeah, don't worry, honey. You're going
to
be fine.
You don't have to worry about it. It's going to happen.
I'll tell you one thing that guy probably was not expecting was Lords of Summer.
No.
A lot of people are pretty polarized on this because they'd rather see Spit, but I think it's cool, man. Like, I don't think you're likely. I think they're gonna play Spit Out the Bone again in the future. They never play Lords of Summer. They're just doing that for this summer run. I think it's awesome.
That's it. I think I'd like to hope that it's maybe something that they're doing for S&M.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why they're pulling it up, but I'd be happy with either of them, really. Yet another reason to go to London tomorrow.
Yeah, totally.
So that I can get to see Spit as well.
I feel like I can hear in your voice that you've already decided you're going, but you just don't know how you're going to do it yet. You don't know how you're going to pull it off, but I think you're going to do it. What do you think about that? I'm just speaking it into existence.
I just have
to
convince my wife that she wants to go. Yeah.
Well,
got to convince my wife that she wants to go.
here's the argument. Hey, babe, if you go with me tomorrow, we'll get to see Spit Out the Bone. She's going to love that argument. Mm. It's going to be as simple as that.
It's a good argument. And I'll back it up by showing a photo. Like, I'll show her videos of Tobias.
Yeah. On the way to London, you're going to get hip to this Tobias cat. And then she's going to be, dude, that's the thing. She's going to be excited to see Ghost again.
But no, she's a massive Metallica fan as well.
Okay,
so
right on.
We're totally willing participant. She's always said that James Hetfield was her spirit animal.
Wow.
Years and years, like since we got together, and we've been together 15 years now.
Ever since you were the goth DJ? Did she fall in love with the goth DJ that you used to be?
That is how we met.
She's like, you're a changed man. What happened to the What happened to the inner Robert Smith in you?
I think we just moved, but we both moved on past the inner Robert Smith.
So that must be nice during a song like Nothing Else Matters to be there with your wife, who's also a fan, to be able to stand side, you know, arm in arm with her and have that special moment. I would never have anything like that. My wife can't stand Metallica, but was that a nice moment to share with your wife?
It was lovely to sort of like be there together and that sort of thing. And I'm very lucky, I think, in that sense.
I think so too.
My wife understands, and we're into sort of the same things. Like I say, we're both going to the San Francisco show, which is actually on her 40th birthday.
Nice.
So we're like, it's fate. It was fated to go to SNM. So it's both of our favorite live albums as well. So what else are you going to do
for
your 40th birthday?
By the way, we're giving away two free tickets to SNM2, the second show, September 8th. So go join us on Patreon for an opportunity to win those tickets, blah, blah, blah. There's that.
Do it.
How about Sandman?
Yeah, it was fantastic. It's always going to be well received. Looking around, everyone singing along. It's the perfect way to end the night.
Yeah.
No one in that room is like, huh, what's this song? Yeah. I'm not sure about this one.
Right.
He'd just done the awesome pick reveal as well, where sort of comes out of the end of Nothing Else Matters and turns the pick with the Manchester logo on it and the dates on the other side. So that's all on the big screen.
And people really love that moment. They really love the personal touch. Because I think, just like we were saying, the casual fan that didn't know they're going to play those five barn burners in a row, they don't know that really specific personal touch is about to happen. Same with the farewell videos too, you know, the farewell videos that have footage of the city and them out there and during the day and all that stuff.
That's it. That, like, they don't, other than people like us who are just immersed, like, neck deep in Metallica all
of
the time.
No, we're insane. We have problems. We have mental problems. They're normal. We're the abnormal ones.
You have a wife who's not into it, who will keep you balanced.
That's like saying that you're not a particularly tall man. That's just a very... very nice diplomatic way. Yes, I suppose she keeps me balanced. Or my obsession just spins out into all sorts of unhealthy ways privately and secretly because I can't share it in the open with my partner. But who's counting? Who's counting that? Not me.
No.
See, if my wife actually liked Metallica and helped harbor in me a healthy fandom, I probably wouldn't have a podcast in which I'd devote maybe, I don't know, 10 to 20 hours a week thinking and talking about Metallica.
So, like, when your wife starts to complain about it, then I highly recommend turning around and saying that that's why. That'll go over really well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, this is your fault, babe. I mean, this is all your fault.
You did this.
You did this to me. No, I would say I would award myself a golden medal or a framed certificate for keeping my Metallica stuff pretty compartmentalized in our life. Like, I don't berate her or a kid with it. I don't play it in the car when we're on trips. I try to be respectful, you know, of that.
Yeah, that's your thing.
So any big takeaways from the gig?
Other than I want to go tomorrow?
You're going, dude. It's done. It's settled. In fact, this is going to drop next Monday. So this is in the future, and I'm here to report from the future that you already went and you already had a great time. I already talked to you about it. You loved
it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, you loved it. So if you do go, your wife's going with you. That's the deal, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
There's no
I don't think I'd get to go. Yeah. I would definitely go. If I can convince her to go, then we'll be going. I don't think I'd get away with going on my own.
Okay. Well, I will offer a prayer to Lunar Satan and the metal gods, and hope that you catch her in a good vibe and that she's down. Show her a picture of Tobias looking sexy like an evil pope.
Go, you can make it through this. You can make it through to Friday.
Well, Matt, man, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk about your Metallica experience and the show. And thank you for, you know, there've been some technical issues with my microphone and with the fucking Wi-Fi and all that. I appreciate you making it work for us, dude. These Metal Tales are so fun. It's such an awesome opportunity for me to tell you thank you for being a patron. And I get a kick out of hearing all these stories, man. I really appreciate you.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me on. And thanks to you guys for doing this. Because, like, honestly, since you guys started this podcast, like my appreciation of the band has like grown exponentially. That's what sort of pushed it into super fandom, of having access to all these people and all this knowledge and all these stories that you can just appreciate on a totally different level to before. So thank you for doing what you do and putting your 20 hours a week in.
Well, you're very welcome. And that is why I'm expecting any day now to receive a wonderful fruit basket from Metallica.
Hey, it's Clint from Metal Up Your Podcast, and we hope you're enjoying the Metal Tales from the Road series. If you've been keeping up with us, then you already know that we've covered every stop on the 2018-2019 North American Arena Tour, and we look forward to catching up with all of our European friends later this year on the Stadium Tour overseas. And there's more! After the Stadium Tour, we are continuing the Metal Tales series for any Metallica show in the past. Maybe you saw one of the Orion Festivals. Maybe you were at the Channel in 1984 and Cliff Burton bought you a beer. Maybe you were at one of the 30th anniversary shows, or you just saw a regular-ass show in North Dakota somewhere. We want to hear from you. Since Ethan and I started Metal Up Your Podcast, we wanted to find a way for listeners to call in and share their stories. Well, this is it. To make yourself eligible for a future or past Metal Tales episode, please consider joining us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you not only get to come on the show as a guest, you also get both of our Cover Our World Blackened EPs, monthly giveaways like deluxe box sets, rare vinyl, posters, and other goodies. You get early access to our YouTube videos, and we also let you ask our guests like Ray Burton, Michael Wagner, Hailstorm, members of Slipknot, your very own questions. For what essentially amounts to 2 cups of coffee a month, you can ensure that Metal Up Your Podcast continues to grow in quality and content. For any of you on the ride with us, we love you, we thank you, peace and adios.
Ha 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 ha